one of those decisions where at first glance it's a little hard to tell what's going on, and it's really in the dissenting opinion written by Justice Stephen Breyer that, you know, he raises some, you know, potentially very important issues for agencies.
And essentially it says that some of these independent federal agencies, that they might actually be unconstitutional. Explain that.
Yeah, it's a little convoluted and probably a long shot that that would actually ever happen,
right,
that these agencies would be ruled unconstitutional.
Well, because some of them are agencies that, I mean, these are agencies that aren't, I mean, I can't imagine that the Consumer Product Safety Commission is going to go away. My goodness.
No, I think that seems unlikely. And in the decision, in the majority opinion, the justices are at pains to say, you know, just hold on. We're just making a decision in one case here.
Right.
Don't read too much into it. Anyway, the gist of it is that when Congress set up this Public Company Accounting Oversight Board in 2002, they gave its members protection against arbitrary removal. They could only be removed by the Securities and Exchange Commission for cause. The members of the SEC, in turn, can only be removed by the president for cause.
Hmm.
Now, the justices said, under the Constitution, the president is supposed to have authority over everybody in the executive branch. But essentially, over the years, they deemed that it was okay to have certain jobs that the president couldn't remove people except for cause. Like that, so that one layer of that, the justices said, that's fine. But to add a second layer of people where they couldn't be removed by another agency except for cause, they said, that's just too much. That's taking too much authority away from the president, and forget it. That's, in this case, unconstitutional, and you gotta just do away with that part of it. Well, that seems relatively fine, but Justice Breyer pointed out, well, wait a second. If that's what you're setting up as your rule, then you've got all over government. You've got agencies that the head of the agency is protected against arbitrary removal, and they in turn are run by members of the senior executive service, who of course enjoy civil service protections and can't just be removed for any reason whatsoever. Wouldn't that make all of them unconstitutional as well? And this didn't, you know, clearly didn't sit well with the majority, who essentially said, hey, that's not what we're saying. We're just ruling in this one case, and we're don't read anything more into it than that. But it is sort of hanging out there now, the question as to whether this is a test that could be applied across government or just to this one set of circumstances.
Well, and this is essentially the Social Security Agency administration falls under this too.
Sure, absolutely. That's probably the biggest one that would seem to fit the criteria that the justices have laid out, which are, they do get to be sort of arcane. It's not just, you know, it's not just any federal employee. Of course, all federal employees have some degree of civil service protection, but it really only comes into play when it involves people who could be considered executive officers under the Constitution, and that's a relatively murky area, but certainly you would think members of the senior executive service would apply.
And one of the things that's in here that you picked up on, and I saw it and was kind of shocked, but some of these board chairmen, and I forget which one this was, but the chairman's current salary was $673,000.
Yeah, that, it turns out, is one of the main reasons. I mean, you might, one of the things I wondered is, why do they have this sort of convoluted structure for this oversight board, and that's one central reason, is that so that they can pay people far above what the government pay scale is.
Huh.
Now, to be fair, that's not appropriated federal money that's being used to pay those salaries. They collect fees from the companies that are regulated to pay for the salaries of the oversight board. But that's a big reason why those salaries are, why the thing was set up the way it was, so that they could pay people essentially whatever they wanted to be on this board.
And so do people feel that there's a need that this has to be resolved in some way, shape, or form? Or, as you say, this is just one justice's opinion, and so people will pretty much go on with their lives?
Yeah, I think the majority, the justices in the majority, are content to just let this hang out there for a while. And you know, I'm not a constitutional expert, but their decision sort of reads as to me as sort of a shot across the bow, saying, "Hey, just be careful with all the levels and layers of government that you're setting up. Don't automatically assume that all of this is legit. And we're going to tell you in this case, like, dial it back a little bit. And it's really, it's really a very simple fix. All they're saying is, hey, what we're telling you is the SEC has to have the power to remove these people for any reason they deem necessary, which presumably the SEC is going to say, yeah, that's fine, whatever. And presumably the president will say the same thing. And that sort of takes care of it. And they very deliberately said, hey, we're not ruling on the, we're not setting up a bright line rule that we're going to apply across the board. We're just talking about these sets of circumstances. But they really didn't, what Justice Breyer pointed out is, they didn't really say what made this particular organization different than any other organization that these rules would apply to it. That's a question they didn't really address. So theoretically, in the future, the issue could come up again.
Being a justice of the Supreme Court, what a great job, isn't it? You get to decide these things, and you take whichever parts of it you want, and the other parts you just say, well, we're not addressing that.
Yes, exactly.
I'd love to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would love to run their job that way.
I got to ask you, because yesterday, and you blogged about it a little bit, but the big announcements from OMB yesterday about financial management systems, essentially looking at IT. Was there something new in there that you haven't seen before? You've been covering this stuff a long time. Did this strike you as new, or just the latest initiative to try and get IT systems on the right track?
I think it's probably more the latter, and there certainly it wasn't a necessarily surprise because, and I have to give Jason Miller over at your guys' staff credit for breaking this news, more than a month or so ago, that this was going to be coming down the pike. So the immediate thing is not that surprising, and frankly, it does. This is the kind of thing that it seems like every administration tries to do, to say we've got to get a handle on these big IT projects. It's sort of interesting. I think that there is now a consensus that doing things like these big financial systems modernization projects are just not a good idea, that they just too frequently fail, and that you're better off biting off things in smaller chunks. And they certainly seem to be following in that vein.
And one of the things that did irk me a little bit was Director Orzog's blog post on this subject, and I'll actually read it, because while a productivity boom has transformed private sector performance over the past two decades, the federal government has almost entirely missed this transformation and now lags far behind in efficiency and service quality. Now, number one, the contention that government has, what's his phraseology again, almost entirely missed the transformation, that's just not true. I mean, just blatantly not true. And we've seen this over the decade, two decades. Government is much more efficient today than it was two decades ago, precisely because of all this technology that's out there. But the other thing that strikes me as just frankly specious is this public-private sector comparison. Everybody does it. I don't think it adds any value. And why do it? Who cares?
Yeah, it is very much a sort of apples to oranges comparison, and yes, it's there are, when you take the whole private sector versus the whole government, the whole private sector, private sector as a whole, there has tended to be more advanced in technology, and government isn't necessarily leading the way across the board, although it's not true, as you point out, everywhere. There are places where government is, in fact, leading the way. I am a little mystified, too, as to why OMB is, they're very stuck on this talking point that government is just woefully behind.
Yeah.
And
generally, what they're talking about are, they point to people like Google and Cisco and how they use technology. Let me tell you, you better be behind. If Google and Cisco and Apple and those folks can't do it right, Microsoft and the others, if they can't do it right, it can't be done. So, right. You know, we've all been in organizations where it's not as efficient as it could be, and there are issues. And I don't think it just adds to the dialogue, because it says government isn't able to do the job, and it's just not true. I don't think it's true.
Yeah, and some of it is, you know, it takes the form of, like, Orszag is very, very fond of, he's fond of saying they're behind in technology, and when you press him on it, he gets to this issue of, oh, you know, look at all the apps out there for the iPhone, and we don't have apps. And so now they're, you know, now they want to do apps, and he's demanding that, which is, you know, I certainly have nothing against that, but it does suggest to me, like, are apps the total answer?
Right.
I mean, not really. I mean, I'd sort of rather have the government. I mean, yes, it'd be great if they had some cool apps. It would be even better if we made sure that, you know, the air traffic control system's modernization was on track and that Social Security was prepared for what it needs to deal with. And, you know, it's these things that are really the really key things where you got to put your focus. And I'm not suggesting that they don't do that. They've got a lot of initiatives underway, things like data center consolidation that are very serious, kind of wonky issues that aren't just PR gimmicks.